Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Mount St. Helens Creation Center, this is The Mountain and the Word. And the Word, and I am your presenter, Paul Taylor. I'm one of the directors, and my wife and I are directors at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. And we're at the foot, well, someone has described us as being at the base of Mount St. Helens. Now, if we were at the base of Mount St. Helens, I suspect it would be very hot round here because we would be inside the lava, under the lava dome. Well, actually, the mountain is a few miles away. We can see it from our front yard. We're on the main tourist route to Mount St. Helens, and that's where you'll find our creation center. So clearly we're here to give a witness to the events that happened around Mount St. Helens and other aspects to do with creation and apologetics, and to put them into a biblical framework and to make sure we're in a biblical framework. Well, I hope that you are going to be enjoying the show. This is our fifth pilot show. We're not quite ready to permanently launch yet. There will be a few mistakes during this show, and I'm going to be trying a few other things today. Last week, we were very privileged to have with us my friend and fellow creation speaker, Jay Seagert, and that was a great show. I really enjoyed chatting to Jay for just over half of the show, and that was really experimenting to make sure that we could do interviews with people, and so we did that as a proper interview, and I think that was very useful. We've got some good recording there as well, which we will make use of again. But Jay has very kindly said that he will be on our very first proper show in February. We need to set a date for that soon, but it's coming up very soon. Within the next couple of weeks, we'll be ready for an official launch for this show. Well, this particular show this week, I've not got a guest with me, not actually a live guest anyway, but what I'm going to be doing in this show is experimenting on using quite a large number of clips. I did have a couple of clips last week, but we've got quite a large number of clips this week to put together. So that's what I'm experimenting with this week. And this is something else that we'll probably be using during these shows. I've got a large library of various clips. When I was back in the United Kingdom with the Answers in Genesis in the UK, we used to do a podcast over there, and I had the privilege of interviewing a large number of people from different areas, different walks of life, and I've got therefore quite a bank of recordings, interviews and things, and it will be useful for you to hear some of those things. I'll try and get as many of those people back on the show live onto this show as well, but it will be good to replay some of those interviews so that you can, those of you who've been with me and followed the things that I've been doing all those years, I'm sure you'll enjoy getting back to some of those particular again. Well, I think as well as looking at the various different clips, the theme that we're going to be looking at this week is we're going to be looking at issues to do with evangelism and the Bible. And I've got a number of products around that I think it would be worth talking to you about so that you know that we've got them. You know, when people come into the store, it's great to be able to make sure there are tracts available, so that free tracts, so that they can be able to take some of these away, either if they're Christians, to be able, so that they can pass them on to other people, or, you know, just to make sure that people have got something with the gospel on it. And I love the fact that there are some lovely tracts that masquerade as $1 million bills. I've got one here which is called Dino Box, and it's got a picture of a dinosaur on the front face of the of the $1 million bill. And on the reverse of that, it has a gospel presentation. It talks about the law, it talks about the Ten Commandments, and it talks about the gospel. Well, these these particular million dollar bills, there are a lot of different people now producing these type of tracts, and they're great fun. People like to have these tracts. I think the original $1 million bills were the brainchild of Ray Comfort, who's set up a ministry called Living Waters Ministry in California. And he's been talking about the presentation of the gospel by the law and the gospel together. He's been doing that and making sure people understand the proper biblical method of presenting the gospel for decades, really, and has spoken to millions and millions of people. And he was the one who originally came up with the $1 million bill tracts. But one or two other people have been doing them now with different pictures on, which is great fun. Ray Comfort is really the person who has, I think, more than anyone else, has influenced me on the subject of evangelism. Now, I am not gifted at evangelism, and it terrifies me to go out on the street and to witness and to talk in that way. But I do when I believe that God's telling us to do it. I'm not really as active as I should be on this. If I attend a conference, then I try and make sure that I'm involved. But I wouldn't have any idea at all. I wouldn't have any idea at all of what to do if it weren't for the influence of Ray Comfort and the literature and the things that he has produced. I think it's very important to have a look at his website. Now then, his website, I can never remember whether it's .com or .org. So I think while I'm just talking to you, I will just quickly type it in to the browser just to check that I give you the right address. Here it comes. Yes, this is the right one. So it is livingwaters.com. Livingwaters.com. And you go to that site and you listen to the presentation on Hell's Best Kept Secret, and also the presentation on true and false conversions. Those messages are very important indeed, and they will really help you to understand how we are to present the gospel. Also, they have a TV show on their website called The Comfort Zone. And I'm mentioning quite a bit about Ray Comfort. Why am I doing that? Well, one of the things that I want to talk to you about is a product that we've got in the bookstore called the Evidence Bible. Now, this is a must, really, if you're going to go out and witness. Now, some of you know that some people think I'm not over keen on evidence. That's what they say. Well, you're into presuppositional apologetics, aren't you? Yes, I am. I am into presuppositional apologetics. That doesn't mean that evidence doesn't have its place. The point is that evidence has got to be correctly used. We do not use evidence to prove the Bible to be true or prove the existence of God. We start from the Bible being true, and we see that the corollary of that is the various things that we see, and that helps us to understand how we're to present the gospel, and how we're to understand the Bible, and particularly even in our field of creationism. So, the Evidence Bible does precisely that. I really think this, the Evidence Bible puts the evidence in the correct context, because you're starting from the Bible and you're seeing then that the evidence comes from the scripture, not the other way around. So I really commend this particular product so much so it is our main Bible that we sell here at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. If you come into our store, you'll find this in both hardback edition and the beautiful beige leather covered edition. It's the New King James Version text, and every so often you've got these panels that Ray and his team have put in, which give you the pieces of evidence that we're talking about. As I said, evidence which flows from Scripture, not evidence which is there to try and prove Scripture. So this is a very important Bible, and it's great to be able to use that. I should have said, by the way, at the beginning of the program, I better butt in now so that you know. I'm very happy to take calls during this show. You might want to join in conversation talking about evangelism and talking about the place of scripture. So if you would call in, then the number to call in at is 657-383-1089. That's 657-383-1089. Please do ring up and join in the conversation. Well, back in 2009, I was doing the Answers in Genesis podcast, and I had the privilege of being able to interview Ray Comfort for that particular program. And we had some great fun doing that particular interview. To begin with, for example, there were a few little problems with the recording, and in particular, Ray's pet dog was playing up. So we learned a little bit about the biblical method then of trying to do some dog training, as you can hear in this clip.
My puppy has decided to growl. Hang on a minute. Look, get under my authority. Sit. Sit. Don't make any noise. I'm recording. Okay, you might have to edit that. Maybe not.
So there we go. That's the biblical method of putting your dog under your authority. Doesn't seem to have worked with my dog. But we had great fun doing that interview. It took us about three times as long as it should have done to be able to do the interview because we kept having to stop as we were laughing so much at various things that were happening. It was interesting. You know, Ray's dog was clearly it was a puppy, and at the time it was clearly interrupting the recording, growling, and all sorts of things, which is great fun. Anyway, I wanted to chat to Ray about the principle behind the million-dollar bills and his whole philosophy of evangelism. And I think it's very important to start this show by looking at his philosophy of evangelism. If you want to comment on this, you know, and take issue, because I'm fully convinced of Ray's philosophy on evangelism. His is the methodology that I recommend, that I want to use. But if you want to discuss this, you want to chat about it, then please call in on 657-383-1089. That's 657-383-1089. But here's Ray talking about the million-dollar bill tract and just giving an introduction to his philosophy on evangelism.
Well, we promised you an interview with Ray Comfort. I've wanted to interview Ray for a long while. Ray has, as well as being a well-known evangelist and writer on evangelism, training people in evangelism, he's also written on the subject of creation and intelligent design. And we've used his materials, his tracts and so on, in a lot of the things that we've done. We recommend his materials, and I thought it would be really great to be able to talk to him. But it's incredible how many technical difficulties we've had with interviewing him. When I first tried interviewing him, the recording equipment did something very, very strange indeed. Just listen to this little excerpt from the first interview that I tried to do with Ray.
So that's the pattern that's given to us, and we need to stick with that if we want to see genuine conversions.
So with technical difficulties such as my voice turning into one of the Walt Disney chipmunks, and Ray being savaged during his interview by his man-eating Bichon puppy, we managed in the end to be able to record the interview, and here it is now.
Well, on the line I've got Ray Comfort from Living Waters Ministries in California. Thank you for joining us, Ray.
It's a pleasure, Paul.
And I've got in my hands here a £1 million note holding up to the camera, which you can't see because the camera's not working. But it's a £1 million note. Now, you're indirectly responsible for this, aren't you?
Yeah, about 8 or 9 years ago, I produced a million-dollar bill. I thought it would be wonderful to be able to give someone a million-dollar bill with the gospel on the back. And so I produced one, and over time, we made them look more real with our talented graphic artists to a point where the Secret Service over here actually seized 8,000 of them and said they looked too much like real money. And I was able to say to them, you know, 164-word gospel presentation on the back is a good clue that it's not government-issued. But it made some good publicity, and that day we sold 500,000. And over time, the million-dollar bill has evolved to the billion, and now we've got the trillion bill with President Obama's picture on the front. Not easy to give out. People just love it. And so there's been the spin-off in New Zealand and Australia and Britain, all over the place, of million-dollar bills, million-pound notes. And they're so easy to give out. You know, you work at your own little one-liner. Here's £1 million for you. It's great when you get the change, or, you know, spend it wisely, or now you can quit your job. And people are so grateful. They say, oh, thanks £1 million. This is great. And you can say, hey, make sure you read the message on the back. It's real important. Or you can get to witness to them straight from it. So it's a wonderful witnessing tool. And I think we've sold something like 22 million million-dollar bills over those years.
It's great. And I do commend people to get hold of them. I've got the million-dollar bill as well as the million-pound bill, and the message on the back is the same in both cases. It's the same message, the gospel message there, and it's great. It's great to just give those away, and you've got lots of other fun tracts and things. I've got this little coin with the Ten Commandments on, which personally I find very good if I'm talking to people for an extended period of time. It's a good one for going through things and talking to people, isn't it?
Well, you know what I do? I ride a bike to work each day. I ride a mile there and a mile back. That's how I keep my physique as great as it is. And if I ever see anyone on the sidewalk or the footpath, I flick it to them as I ride past and say, here's a gift for you. And when it hits the ground, you know, it goes clunk, like this has got perceived value. And people almost always pick it up and yell, hey, thanks. And I say, make sure you read it. And so it's bicycle evangelism.
Oh, that's great.
Careful I don't hit someone in the head when I do it.
Well, that would be a great witness when you put someone's eye out with it, then. You could visit them in hospital and give them the gospel then.
And share that if your eye offends you, pluck it out. Yeah.
That's great. But one of the interesting things about what you're doing when you're witnessing, because your ministry, yourself and your ministry, are dedicated to encouraging us to get out onto the streets and talk to people about the gospel. And you're using a little bit of the Old Testament, aren't you, as well in what you're doing? I mean, particularly using the commandments here. Why are you doing that?
Well, before I did that, I used to just say to people, you know, give your life to Jesus because there's something missing in your life. God's got a wonderful plan for your life. And I didn't understand it, but I was actually producing false converts with such an erroneous gospel presentation. It's such an error to present the cure without first diagnosing the disease. And the diagnosis for the disease is given us in the Ten Commandments. The Bible says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting soul. And if you look at how Jesus witnessed, a young man ran to Jesus, knelt down, and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? What did Jesus say to this prospective convert who ran to him, was obviously earnest, knelt down, obviously humble, and asked how he could find everlasting life? Did he give him the cross or the love of God? No, he gave him the Ten Commandments. But before he did, he said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. He reproved the man for his understanding of the word good. And the reason he did this is because unregenerate humanity has no understanding of God's righteousness, His holiness, or the goodness of God. And when the Bible speaks of God's goodness, it means moral perfection in thought, word, and deed. Proverbs 20, verse 6 says, most every man will proclaim his own goodness. And they do. You ask anyone who's not a Christian, do you think you're a good person? They'll almost always say, I'm a really good person. We see the same thing with Paul in Romans 2. Paul says, you say you shall not steal, do you steal? You say you shall not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? What's he doing? He's applying the commandments to the conscience. He's bringing the knowledge of sin, because Paul said in the book of Romans, I had not known sin but by the law. He said, by the law is the knowledge of sin, so it's essential that we follow in the steps of Jesus and do exactly what Jesus did. When someone is proud and self-righteous, we give them the commandments. If someone comes to you in the spirit of Nicodemus, who's humble and a godly Jew, obviously knew the law, you give them grace. But most people, probably 99% of secular people we meet, are self-righteous. They have no understanding of truth, no understanding of doctrine, biblical doctrine. And so it's very important to bring the knowledge of sin, as Jesus did, as Paul did, by using the law and stirring the conscience.
Right. Well, that was Ray Comfort chatting to me in 2009 from the Answers UK radio podcast. And it was, as I said, it was great fun to do that. I was talking about the Evidence Bible before. We'll come back and we'll find out a little bit more about the things that we've got here at the store and about Ray's philosophy on evangelism after this break.
The Evidence Bible is a reservoir overflowing with everything evangelistic. I couldn't recommend it more highly. It's what you need to defend and share your faith.
When I'm preaching the gospel, I don't like to waste time debating people or getting sidetracked by minor issues. I try to give quick, reasonable answers that are clear and to the point. That's what the Evidence Bible is all about, having an answer as well as a defense against skepticism.
Well, let me ask you, how do you respond when a coworker labels you as intolerant for believing that Jesus is the only way to God? Or how would you answer those who claim that the Bible is filled with contradictions, that evolution is scientific, or that there is no absolute truth?
You'll learn how to answer these objections as well as many others easily and effectively within the pages of the Evidence Bible.
Franklin Graham said, "In a day when Christians are too often silenced by the questions of skeptics, the Evidence Bible will help you be prepared to give an answer." Also commended by Christian leaders such as Josh McDowell, D. James Kennedy, Tim A., Norman Geisler, and Ken Ham. The Evidence Bible will enrich your trust in God and in His Word. It'll deepen your concern for those who are around you and thoroughly equip you to reach them with the message of eternal life.
The Evidence Bible, available at livingwaters.com or through your local Christian bookstore.
And the Evidence Bible is indeed available here at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. So if you want to get one, you could go online to mshcreationcenter.org and you could have a look at our online store. Or you could come here and visit our center and then you'd be able to pick them up then. Obviously, Living Waters themselves sell them as well, and I do recommend that you look at their website, livingwaters.com. Let me give you an example of the sort of thing you can find, because, you know, you might have been reading Genesis chapter 8 about the flood, and you want to know, is this talking sense in the Bible when it talks about animals and what they're doing? Well, have a look, and you will see that... the passage on Genesis chapter 8, there is one of Ray's little panels, and this is on page 18. And in fact, he's got a lot of this evidence contributed by other people. This one has been borrowed from Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis, a little question and answer section entitled, "Where did all the flood water go?" So we've got a little bit which has come from the Answers in Genesis website that Ray has put into the Bible. This is the sort of thing that you'll find all through this particular Bible. Anywhere else I can turn anything, any passage I turn into. For example, here I've got, I'm looking at Nehemiah chapter 13. And in Nehemiah chapter 13, Ray himself has put in some comments about open air preaching, whether it's contending or whether it's contentious. And so there's a little comment on that. These are the sort of comments that you get all the way through this Bible. It's the New King James version of the text, which is personally the one that I like the best, and all these various comments and little quotes throughout the Bible along with the text. So get hold of that particular Bible. Now, Ray in his evangelism has made clear that he believes the book of Genesis to be absolute true, and this is foundational to his evangelistic techniques. So once again, another clip from the interview that I did with Ray back in 2009. This is the last of the clips that we've got here, and here he's talking on that particular subject, on the truth of the book of Genesis. Now, I've come across some evangelists in the UK, and I assume you probably have similar ones in the USA as well, who'll tell me, well, it doesn't matter what you believe on the subject of creation and Genesis, it's not important, we just need to preach Jesus Christ. And yet you and your minister do take a position on the subject of Genesis, don't you?
Oh, Genesis is the absolute truth. Jesus pointed to Genesis and he said, "In the beginning, God made male and female." So when I meet someone who says, oh, I think evolution is used by God, I say, well, what Bible do you read? Don't you believe Jesus? Are you a Christian? In the beginning, God made man, male and female. He made them in his image, not as primates. And he gave them the ability to reproduce after their own kind, not other kinds. So it's impossible to reconcile Holy Scripture with a fairy tale of evolution. And any person who says they're a Christian really needs to look closely at their own salvation if they do that, because they're obviously not believing what Jesus said.
Wow. Very, very firm comments there on the subject of Genesis from the evangelist Ray Comfort. Well, just again, I need to tell you, you need to have a look at Ray's website. You really need to get into his methodology of doing evangelism, because it's not his methodology of doing evangelism. It's a biblical methodology. It's what the Bible has to say about evangelism. So I really would commend his system, and I honestly do think it's scriptural. I would commend that. When it comes to the Bible and comments and so on, I've tried to do my little bit on this as well. And I've got a little book called Have You Read Genesis Lately? And I really like this book because, obviously, I didn't write most of the book, because the book is the complete text of the book of Genesis. And I just wanted people to read Genesis as if it was a paperback book. So, you know, we've got this book put together. It's the complete text of Genesis in paperback form. You can get hold of it and you can read it as if it was a novel. But every so often, in each chapter, I've got a comment that I've made on the subject of that particular chapter. So you can read it, so you can find out what it's all about. And I've put that throughout the book. So there's over 50 comments. There's 50 chapters. I've put at least one comment per chapter. Some chapters have got more than one comment. So that's the book, Have You Read Genesis Lately? You've got the complete text from the New King James Version. That's one edition that I've got of this book, the blue-covered edition. I've also got, though, a grey-covered edition, which has the complete text of the King James Version. So those are the two books that you can get. Have You Read Genesis Lately? Either NKJV or KJV versions. So that you can find out more about what Genesis says. You really need to get into the book of Genesis. It's foundational for everything that we talk about, everything that we believe. It's just so important. These days, so many people have begun to move away from teaching about the book of Genesis. It's a matter of great concern. I mean, a lot of pastors these days are moving away. I've been examining websites of churches in this area, and in one church, there's a couple of churches where people have been preaching on Genesis lately, and one in particular I was looking at and listening carefully to what the pastor had to say, and just was quite distressed that in this church, which was a conservative Bible-believing church, so they would say, they still could not accept that the book of Genesis actually said what it said. So they've got these complex theories about how the days of creation are not necessarily in the order that they come. They could be long ages of time. They just will not take the book literally and read exactly what it says. And it's just a major concern that people will start reading the Bible in that way. Well, 10 years ago, the atheist Michael Zimmerman put together an idea called Evolution Sunday to try and just widen this gap between pastors and biblical truth, trying to encourage them to sign up. And, we wanted to support the concept of Creation Sunday. Evolution Sunday was placed on the nearest Sunday to Darwin's birthday. So many creation groups now are sponsoring Creation Sunday on the same day, which this year will be February the 15th, 2015. So I just want to encourage you to celebrate that as Creation Sunday. And I'll put together a little clip to help you understand what we've got in mind on that subject.
Creation Sunday is an important day to restate the truth that God created this universe exactly as he said he did in Genesis. Positioned on the closest Sunday to Charles Darwin's birthday, it's an important corrective to the long-standing Evolution Sunday concept, where pastors and church leaders have been asked to sign that they believe evolution to be compatible with biblical truth. To hear how incompatible the Bible and Darwinian evolution are, come to our Creation Sunday event at 6 o'clock in the evening on Sunday, February the 15th, 2015, at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. Leave Interstate 5 at Junction 49, drive east on Washington State Highway 504, and we're on the right between milepost 9 and 10. See mshcreationcenter.org for details. So please join in with Creation Sunday. We've got it mentioned on our website. What we're trying to do is get pastors to talk about creation on Creation Sunday. That's February the 15th. Either do a full sermon on the subject, a Sunday school meeting or a sermon during your worship time on the subject of creation or the truth of Genesis or something. Or maybe, you know, you're in the middle of a series and you just don't want, you just feel you can't break into that. Maybe you can give a notice on the subject then, just to recommend recommend something like the New Answers book series from Answers in Genesis, or I would recommend Jay Seagate's book Creation or Evolution that we talked about last week, or you could get my own book, The 6 Days of Genesis, for example. So you could do that, or you know, if you can't even do that, so that, you know, that's something a bit beyond what you feel you're able to do on that occasion, just put a notice in the church bulletin, just to make clear that people know exactly where the church stands on this issue. So, you know, just do something, however small, just do something that indicates that you're on board, that you understand as a pastor the issues to do with creation and evolution, and that you're coming down firmly on the side of biblical truth. So I would just encourage people to try and be involved in that, please, if at all possible. Well, I mean, we're trying to do our bit here at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. In the morning, I have been invited by a local church to speak that morning. So I will be at the Heritage Bible Church in Catlamet, in Washington State, on the Sunday morning of February the 15th. The pastor there, David Martin, has invited me to go along and speak to the Sunday school and then in the worship service too. So that will be good. So if you happen to be anywhere in the Longview, Kelso, Catlamet area, that sort of area, then go along, please, and come and support us there. That's the Heritage Bible Church. There's a couple of churches in this in the area around there called Heritage Bible Church. There's one over the border in Oregon. The one we're talking about is in Washington State. It's in Catlamet on Puget Island in the middle of the Columbia River. It's quite close to Longview. You go to Longview and you go on the road westwards, the coast road westwards, on the Washington, the northern side of the Columbia River. And you come to Catlamet. So that's the morning of Sunday, February the 15th. But something you could all come in, get involved in on that evening, if you're in the Pacific Northwest, then make the journey to the Mount St. Helens Creation Center, please. And we will be doing an event on the evening. We're starting the event at 6 o'clock on the evening of Sunday, February the 15th, 2015. That's Creation Sunday. And I've done a fair bit of work, research on the subject of Charles Darwin, so I'll be doing my biographical presentation about the life of Charles Darwin on that day in the evening. Come along at 6 o'clock. My presentation, which lasts about 45 minutes, will start in our auditorium at 6:30, and we'll just keep the place open that evening from 6 o'clock till 8 o'clock. There'll be discounts at that event. There'll be a 10% discount on sales there. Or if you buy my biography of Charles Darwin, the biography that was published in 2009, written by myself and Ian McNaughton, then you'll get a 15% discount off the whole sale if one of the items in that sale is a copy of Darwin and Darwinism 150 years later. So that's Creation Sunday. Please remember Creation Sunday. It is Sunday, February the 15th.
We're doing that, if you remember, because it's the closest Sunday to Charles Darwin's birthday. We wouldn't normally want to mark that event, but there are many Christians around, many churches around who want to mark what they call Evolution Sunday on that same day to try and tell people that it's perfectly possible, it's perfectly compatible to believe the theory of evolution and believe the Bible. Well, we're standing up and we're saying it isn't possible. It simply is not possible to accept biblical truth and to believe in the theory of evolution at the same time. So because of that, because that's our position on the subject, we're celebrating Creation Sunday that day. And we would very much like you to come along and to share in that event, if you'll please. So Creation Sunday, February the 15th, 2015. We're talking there particularly about the evening event at 6 o'clock through 8 o'clock. On the 6 o'clock through 8 o'clock on the evening of Sunday, the 15th of February, at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. The little advert, by the way, that we showed then, that we played then, you heard a description of where to find our center. Well, you can find a map. You can find a map for the center at mshcreationcenter.org. mshcreationcenter.org. MSH stands for Mount St. Helens. Mount St. Helens Creation Center. mshcreationcenter.org. I'm just looking in the Evidence Bible here, by the way, and looking at the beginning of the book of Genesis. I noticed there on page 4, in the middle of the section on Genesis chapter 1, there's a short article by Terry Mortensen from Answers in Genesis. He's talking about how long is a day. Very, very important just to emphasize that particular issue there. On page 5, to do with Genesis chapter 1, verse 18, Ray Comfort's put a comment on how could there be light before the sun. You may have heard people say that there are two different creation accounts in Genesis. They say that Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 are two different creation accounts, which are actually contradictory. Well, they're not. You know, you read it correctly, you read it logically without trying to put your own presuppositions in, you'll see they're not contradictory. They're simply written from a different point of view. And there's a comment on that on page 7 in this Evidence Bible against the passage Genesis chapter 2, verse 4. It's just so important. There's all these really important pieces of evidence, and they're presuppositional evidences because we start from the truth of Genesis and we build from that point outwards. So there's just some wonderful stuff here on all through this Bible, all through this Bible on different issues. Yeah, very interesting little article actually here that I just turned to as well. You go to page 1573 and you're in the middle of Acts chapter 14, and it's a comment there by Ken Ham on who has the most evidence, creationists or evolutionists. And that article really makes it clear that it's not to do with the evidence, it's to do with where you start, where your presupposition. So that really, in a nutshell, explains the whole purpose of the Evidence Bible. Page 1573 in the Evidence Bible, the comment against Acts chapter 14 and verse 17. One of the pieces of evidence that evolutionists say means that you cannot trust the Bible is scientific dating methods. Physicists have a lot of what they call dating methods, particularly radiometric dating methods. I've tried to do a bit of work on this myself to try and explain this in simplified terms. Radiometric dating methods do not actually give you long ages for the Earth. If you split a rock open, you don't find that there's something in there that tells you exactly what the date is. The measurements that are taken are to do with other things, and from the measurements that you take, you do calculations to find the age of that rock. Those calculations are based on assumptions. Well, when I worked with the Ministry of Creation Today, we did a number of little video clips called Creation Bites, and I tried to explain ideas like this succinctly in just 2 or 3 minutes of video. Just to give an explanation of what particular particular aspects of creationism actually meant, to try and explain them in terms that were easy to understand. And I did one on the subject of radiometric dating, and it would be good perhaps now to listen to that clip so that you can hear about radiometric dating and why it doesn't actually prove millions of years after all.
A lot of people think that when you radiometrically date a rock, you are somehow measuring its age. That isn't the case. The whole principle rests on the rate of change of radioactive species like uranium turning into lead. The rate of change will be known by what's known as the half-life. So what's actually being measured is the amount of uranium and the amount of lead in that particular rock. Then the age of the rock is calculated based on three assumptions. First, the scientists have to assume that all the lead in the rock came from uranium, that when the rock was originally made, there was no lead in the rock. How can they know that to be the case when they weren't there to see the rock being formed? Secondly, they have to assume that no lead has been washed into the rock or washed out of the rock during the supposed millions of years that the rock has been there. Once again, how can they be sure that's the case, especially considering that lead compounds are actually quite soluble in water? Thirdly, they have to assume that the half-life, which indicates the rate of change of uranium to lead, the half-life has never changed during the lifetime of the rock. But what's interesting is that even this last assumption has today been challenged, and there is considerable evidence now to suggest that the half-life of uranium and other radioactive species may have changed rapidly in the past. So you see, the age of the rock is not being measured. The amounts of uranium and lead are being measured, and being measured very accurately. But the calculation of the age of the rock depends on assumptions which are unprovable and completely unproven.
Well, you're listening to The Mountain and the Word, and we are broadcasting live from the Mount St. Helens Creation Center on the road up to Mount St. Helens. And we're going to be back after this.
Creation and evolution, compatible or in conflict? That's our number one recommended resource on the creation issue. Written by top creation speaker Jay Seegers, the book contains all the basics that you need to get to grips with the topic, including chapters on Genesis, chapter 1, verse 1, the universe, the impossibility of evolution, the age of the earth, and much, much more. And it contains a very helpful appendix explaining the basics of presuppositional apologetics. At the bargain price of $14, the book Creation and Evolution by Jay Seegers is available from the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. That's mshcreationcenter.org.
Well, I do recommend that book and by Jay Seegers, Creation or Evolution, and it's published by Master Books, and it's written by my good friend Jay Seegers. You can get that book at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center, either in person in our bookstore or online. Or you could go to Jay's own website, which is CECWISC, that's CECWISC.org, CECWISC.org. That's Jay Seegert's ministry. And by the way, I noticed on Jay's website, we chatted last week with Jay, if you remember. That was a great time where we really were testing this particular internet broadcasting system to make sure that we could do interviews effectively, and that seemed to work well. And if you didn't hear that interview, by the way, you can still get hold of it because you can get the podcast for this radio program. Obviously, you can't join in if you haven't if it's not live. You can join in live if you want to on this program. You just need to call us on 657-383-1089. That's 657-383-1089. But you can hear the interview that I did with Jay Seegers again by getting hold of the podcast. and you can listen to this episode again anytime you wish by using the podcast as well. So do get hold of that particular book. It's the best book. It's our featured resource. It's our really highly recommended resource on the subject of creation and evolution. Well, what I was about to say was, looking at Jay's website, I noticed that he is doing a partnership with creationist Russ Miller, taking a holiday to a vacation, rather, vacation trip to the Grand Canyon. And that just has reminded us this week that here in Washington State, we've got a lot of features that are important for people to have a look at. Maybe not with quite the breathtaking spectacularness, if that's a proper word, that you'd have at the Grand Canyon. But you can come here and you can spend a few days on different things that are going to be of interest to you in this particular area. So why not do that? Why not time to book a trip to the Pacific Northwest? And during the season, starting from the 1st of May, we're going to be having regular tours around this area, including a short hike, so that you can find out all the information you need to know about Mount St. Helens. The tours in total, driving up the valley, the tours in total last about 4 hours. Most of that is driving up the valley. It takes about an hour for us to go up the valley and look at the various different features there, and we spend about 2 hours on a very, very useful hike, which is very close to the mountain, gives you some spectacular views of the mountain, and so you can see some of the important features. And you end up at the Johnston Ridge Observatory, the closest point you can drive to the mountain. Just 4 miles away, you can see right into the crater of the volcano, the new lava dome that's been developing since more recent eruptions in 2004. So we're going to be doing those tours. Well, we do those tours at any time. If groups want to book themselves onto tours, you just need to call and we will do those at any time. But we will be doing those regularly on Mondays and Thursdays starting from the beginning of May. So that's during the season. You can guarantee, pretty much, unless you see a notice to the contrary on our website, you can pretty much guarantee that there will be those tours available on Mondays and Thursdays. You really need to get here probably for about 9:30 so that we are ready to get going with the presentation and then get out and look up the valley towards the volcano. What we'll be doing is people will be able to take their own transport. That's the way we do it. People will take their own transport. I'll be with them and I'll be sort of taking a lead up the valley, and the tour will finish at Johnston Ridge, so then you can drive back again after that. But there will be a number of places that we stop en route so that I can tell you some interesting things. Some interesting things you'll see en route, though, and we will have audio presentations available for you, either by MP3 for your phone or audio player, or you could have a CD in your car, one of those, so that you'd be able to have an audio tour. You'd be able to see the things that are of interest all the way up the valley. I hope that you enjoy that. We're looking forward to doing those, and we'll be able to give those tours out at pretty much any time. We'll be trying to organize hikes and things in the area too, and we know that other organizations are will be teaming up with as well to produce hikes. And we'll be trying to do a lot of interesting things in the area. In fact, this morning I was actually on the telephone with Eric Hovind from his ministry, Creation Today. You know that I used to work with Eric at the Creation Today ministry, and we recently did a final finale to season 3 of the Creation Today show, where I featured, and I was talking about the Mount St. Helens Center. And we were talking about, we'd got nothing firmly planned yet, but we were talking about vague ideas about getting together and producing a special trip for viewers of the Creation Today show to this area. So please watch this space. There's going to be some very exciting, very interesting things going on
You'll be able to take part in all sorts of interesting activities in this area. And we really do want to encourage people to come and to find out what this particular valley has got to say about catastrophic processes, so that you can understand that these high-energy catastrophic processes actually just verify, that they make sense when you look at Scripture, and help us to understand what was happening in the events after the flood. They're consistent. That's the word I was trying to look for. I was struggling then, trying to find the right word. These things that you see around Mount St. Helens are consistent with Scripture. We're not offering a proof of the Bible. I don't work like that. So we don't prove the Bible to be true. The Bible is true. And we see the results of the Bible being true in the evidence that we point people to. The evidence rests on the truth of the Bible. That's the way that we look at things. That's a very important principle, by the way. It's a principle called presuppositional apologetics. It's a very long term, and it just means that it's important for us to know what our presupposition is. We start from a presupposition of believing the Bible to be true, and we show where that takes us. We show that the results of that are completely consistent with Scripture. And when we start with that, the evidence that we see is completely consistent with Scripture. We do not start the other way around. We don't say, well, maybe we'd better prove this Bible to be true first, and then we can start believing it. No, we do it the other way around. I'm not going to station of believing the Bible to be true, because if all I do is try and offer evidence to someone to prove the Bible's true, A, I'm actually undermining the Bible anyway by that, because the Bible claims to be the ultimate authority. But B, if all we do is offer evidence, then someone else can come up with some other evidence at some other time. Evidence works both ways. Evidence depends on your presuppositions. So someone who has a different presupposition will be able to present evidence which illogically might seem to prove their point. It depends what your starting point is. Now, it's for reasons like that that I've been very keen on trying to make sure that people start from Scripture. And therefore, that's why many years ago I wrote my book, Just 6 Days. Many of you know that I used to use that label for my ministry for a while, and I still do have a website with that, a personal website with that name. But my book, Just 6 Days, was a commentary on Genesis chapters 1 to 11. Well, when I started working with Answers in Genesis, I had the opportunity to rewrite that book and publish it through Master Books. And it was given a new title. It's sold under the title of The 6 Days of Genesis. Well, you can get that book here at the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. Have a look at our website, mshcreationcenter.org. You can also get it on Amazon, all good bookshops, Christian bookshops. It can be ordered easily. Just have a look for that book. But it just wants to emphasize that we need to start from Scripture. When we start from Scripture, then everything else begins to fall into place. Based on the first 11 chapters of Genesis, I had the opportunity with the Creation Today ministry of filming talks based on the first 2 chapters of Genesis. So we put those out in a DVD pack, which again we called The 6 Days of Genesis. And I think you'll find that those DVDs are useful. There's 6 DVDs, it's over 5 hours of biblical exposition. And you can get hold of that pack again from our website, or so have a look at that. And here's a little clip that just tells you a little bit about that. Sorry, I just clicked on the wrong clip there, so let's try again. There's a little clip here that just tells you about the 6 Days of Genesis pack.
Can Christians believe the Bible from the very first word? This new study, The 6 Days of Genesis, by creation speaker Paul Taylor, will help Christians understand exactly what happened during the creation week and why it is foundationally important to believe it.
The New Testament makes it very clear that what God says about creation is true.
You'll enjoy every minute of Paul's unique presentation style, combining scientific facts, solid biblical teaching, and a little British humor.
Some things are not susceptible to scientific analysis. I cannot prove to you, for example, that I was born in Manchester in the north of England 27 years ago. You are doubting Thomas's, aren't you, all of you? All right, it was a bit longer ago than that.
Well, the 6 Days of Genesis DVD series then can be purchased from mshcreationcenter.org. You can get it in our store. That's mshcreationcenter.org, and you can purchase that in our store. You can also get it again in good Christian bookshops, and it was published by Creation Today, so you can get it from there. Website too, and if you're in the southeast, then you could go into their bookshop and you could have a look at that. I was mentioning about the Creation Today show, by the way, and it would be worthwhile having a look at that show. That we did 3 seasons of that show altogether. Well, I did 2.5 seasons, and at the very end of season 3, I came back and I was a special guest. On the show when Eric and Ben interviewed me on the subject of this center and the things that you could do here. If you are a viewer of Creation Today, then keep your eyes open on their website and on ours for a joint project that we're hoping to do later this year. But wherever you are in the country, keep an eye on our website, because there'll be all sorts of things that you'll be able to be involved in this area. We really want to emphasize that it will be great fun for you to take part. There's a lot of fun to be had here, as well as learning biblical truth. You know, there's not many places where I can get to preach outdoors, and that's really, in a sense, what I feel like I'm doing. I won't stop and preach for my usual 90 minutes to you, but, you know, if I take you on a trip around what's called the Hummocks Trail at the head of this valley, then you will find out some interesting things about the geography and the geology of the area, the history of the eruption in the valley, and most importantly of all, putting that into biblical perspective. So I would love to do a tour. Remember, in the season starting in May, you'll be able to get those tours at least on Mondays and Thursdays. Those will be the regularly timed tours on Mondays and Thursdays, and I think it would be great fun to be able to do those tours. We'd look forward to seeing you on those occasions. How do you find the Mount St. Helens Creation Center? Well, it's pretty easy to find. If you're traveling through Washington State, you would generally probably be traveling on the north-south, the main north-south freeway, which is Interstate 5. Now, possibly you could come from other directions, but let me just reference those. If you're traveling north or south on Interstate 5, that's the road between Portland, Oregon, and Seattle, Washington. Well, in Washington State, then, you would need to get to Junction 49. That's the turnoff for Castle Rock and Tootle. And Junction 49, Castle Rock is a very small town right there, positioned there at Interstate 5. Tootle is an even smaller town about 10 miles east of that point. We are just before Tootle. You can see Tootle from our grounds. My son goes to school there at Tootle High School. It's the station as you're going up the valley, and there's a convenience store there as well. Well, what you need to do then is you need to get off Interstate 5 at Junction 49, and you need to drive eastwards. So if you've driven northwards from Portland, then you need to turn right. If you're driving southwards from Seattle, you need to turn left. And you drive up the valley up State Highway 504. It's known as Spirit Lake Highway. And you will find your way to Tootle. But if you get to the town of Tootle, you've gone too far. What you actually need to look for is the milepost. The milepost markers are very clearly marked on the right-hand side of the road. And we're at about 9.5 miles. So you need to pass milepost 9. If you pass milepost 10, you've gone too far. It's past milepost 9, and then you will see our center on the right shortly after milepost 9. Well, you've been listening to The Mountain and the Word, a live broadcast from the Mount St. Helens Creation Center. My name is Paul Taylor. I'm one of the directors here. I'm very pleased indeed, delighted to have had you with us at this time. thank you so much for listening to our show. Listen again next week to next week's episode of The Mountain and the Word. Until then, goodbye and God bless.